Final hour. Welcome back. Happened pretty fast. That's how it feels, I guess, when your football team wins on a Tuesday. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, is going to speak to the media at St. Thomas Sports Park. We'll carry that for you live at 12:30, about 26 minutes away. In the meantime, we need to talk about this Music City miracle that wasn't last night, because lost in all of the ridiculousness, lost in all of the fervor, in the unthinkable victory that the Titans pulled off against the Buffalo Bills, 34-31, Monday Night Football for all the world to see, was this, I mean, I don't know what to call it, because it happened so early on that I completely forgot about it. You know, we didn't ask Mike Vrabel about this in the postgame press conference.
Yeah, shocked by that. Like, as soon as it happened, my first thought was, I can't wait to hear what Mike Vrabel says about it.
Well, if they'd have lost, that'd have been the first question we'd ask him. Hey, Mike.
I'm sure he'll hear about it today.
Hey, Mike.
Blue, my roommate, said Bills fans in the stands were screaming it was a forward pass. He was dying laughing, his veins popping out. That was a forward pass. Can you imagine if they didn't call that one?
Well, I mean, because it's all exacerbated by Adam Schefter, who's on Monday Night Football pregame last night. And he's like, yeah, it was a forward pass, the Music City Miracle.
Truther.
He's one of these. Is it possible that QAnon has a Music City Miracle section of the population? Is Adam Schefter a part of this tinfoil hat-wearing segment of society?
Mickey Ryan's been on this for forever, by the way. He doesn't follow Adam Schefter because of this.
What?
Mickey has talked about it multiple times before last night, that he will not follow Adam Schefter on Twitter because he is a Music City Miracle truther, always has been.
Is Schefter a Bills fan?
No, he claims that he was in the press box that day. He was a beat writer for I can't remember what newspaper publication, and claims in the pregame he said he was in the press box after an official of multiple decades in the NFL explained why it was a legal play with Susie Colbert. Schefter said, I was in the press box. I was right above the play. It happened right below me. It was a forward pass.
You're kidding me.
No, he stood by it. He stuck to his guns last night.
I love that Mickey doesn't follow Adam Schefter.
He's talked about it multiple times.
That's so stupid. That's so stupid on both of their parts.
I respect it. Mickey stands his ground.
I don't respect that.
He will not do it.
Directly affecting how we do our job to not follow Adam Schefter. But you know what? There's some pride in that. I don't even know what to make of that. But yeah, so they looked like they were getting ready, like things were not going well on offense, right? So they're looking for a little juice last night against the Bills. Now, special teams trick plays is something that Mike Vrabel has come into his own on. He often goes into his bag if he feels like they need a little bit of a pick-me-up. Whether it's Mathias Farley or who was it that threw a pass to, was it Mathias Farley that threw a pass to Amani Hooker this year on a fake punt? I believe that was the case, maybe against the Cardinals. You had the Kevin Byard to Dane Cruikshank touchdown pass in the 2018 season when it was Blaine Gabbert starting at quarterback and your starting tackles were Tyler Meritz and Kevin Palmfield. I don't remember that forever. We asked him how to say his name. He held out his palm and said, palm, and then he touched my arm.
And then you have the ones that didn't work, like when Brett Kern saw Jesus before Devin White took him out.
He saw Devin White before he saw Jesus. That's how fast Devin White was moving. It wasn't go towards the light, sweet punter. Don't go into that cold, dark night. It's, oh, my God, who is number 45, and why is he moving that fast? That's as scared as I've ever been for Brett Kern. 615-737-1045. So they're looking for a little something, right? It's early on in the game. It's the first half, and Vrabel says, "All right, let's dial one up." Now, I'd be fascinated to see what Mike has to say about this at his press conference. So they pulled out a recreation of the Music City Miracle, which is, of course, if you were uninitiated, Buffalo when Buffalo punted at the end of the first quarter. So this time it was clearly and obviously a forward pass. Refs gave the Titans a penalty. And the Bills fans rejoiced because finally, they felt vindicated. And I'm certain that they feel less good about the fact that it was called a forward pass after taking a fat L today. And it was laugh out loud funny because Frank Wycheck, who I hope is doing well. I know Frank's had a tough time with it over the last couple of years. A lot of hardship in his life. But Frank Wycheck miraculously appears on Twitter, @ Adam Schefter, and says, "No, I was there too, Adam, and it was in fact not a forward lateral," talking about the Music City Miracle. But that one was. That was really cool to see that take place. I cannot believe that we completely, I mean, we just forgot about it.
It was there. The play was there. It just wasn't executed.
No, it was just forward.
It was like a 6-yard completion.
Do we have Mike and Max call of that? Because I bet that was kind of funny.
I do need to track that down.
All right, very good. We'll do that another day. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Dub in Nashville who wants to chime in. What's up, Dub?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Man, definitely just wanted to start up by saying tighten up. Glad we got that win yesterday. Came out strong. But one thing, I mean, hate to see Farley get hurt, you know, but with his, you know, problems and issues with his back, his knee, you know, you see he who shall remain nameless last year with Will, you know, being a first-round pick. Evans not, you know, looking too strong that we'll bring him back. Is it time for the Titans to start trading in the first-round picks and getting premier talent like the Rams, just really get the Super Bowl push going on? Or do we keep on really trying to draft? Because, you know, they're seem not to be showing up. Simmons did, thank God, yesterday. But you know, what are you going to do with this first-round picks, man, with John Robinson and the team, man? But tighten up, man. Happy for the win. Can't wait to see what we do against the Chiefs next week.
Hey, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate your patience. So, yeah, I mean, Caleb Farley, of course, according to multiple reports, tore the ACL. And he is now in a long line of questionable acquisitions across free agency and the draft, certainly in the last two seasons, right? So it's not Caleb Farley's fault. He got his first NFL start. He was incredibly excited. They introduced the defense first yesterday on Monday Night Football, like when they run out of the tunnel, which I always thought, I don't know why I thought that was so curious why they would do that in front of a sellout crowd. But Caleb Farley comes out of the tunnel. He's fired up. He's ready to go. He's getting picked on very early in that game. And then he has a collision with his teammate and ends up with a torn ACL. He's going to miss the rest of the season. His situation, you know, you can look at this and say, well, John Robinson gambled once with Jeff Simmons and it panned out before. Was Caleb Farley the same kind of gamble? Or do you even consider Jeffrey Simmons a gamble? They would tell you flat out no. They felt confident in the vetting process with everything that swirled around Big Jeff at the time. They felt confident in the repair of his ACL tear that he experienced right before the NFL Combine that February. And Jeff Simmons is now one of the more premier talents playing across interior defensive lines in the country. With Farley and with the trading of the first-round picks, because Dub's right, like, the Rams do this. The Rams and the Seahawks don't give a damn about first-round picks. But you cannot continue to sustain your strength as an organization if you cannot find a way to build your team organically. The free agency, it can be a useful tool. The trading of players for first-round picks, it can be a successful thing. But the Rams, they did that before their Super Bowl appearance, their loss to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in Atlanta a couple of years ago. And then they found themselves in a bit of a hole. Now, Jared Goff may be a big part of that. And now they have Matt Stafford, which alleviates a lot of your roster concerns. I just think if you can find ways to improve your drafting, and listen, the draft is a nightmare as far as hits and misses are concerned, but you can look at John Robinson today and say, it's just, I understand the mitigating circumstances. I understand that it's not the player's fault that they suffered injury. You may have gotten got by Isaiah Wilson, but outside of that, this team has been constructed well. But they cannot continue to not get impact from their draft classes. And Christian Fulton was probably their most consistent defensive player prior to being put on IR. So what I'll say to you is that I don't know that it's worth straight up changing the strategy wholesale and shipping off picks for proven players and just punting on the first round the way that we've seen the Rams kind of approach drafts in the last couple of years. But there does need to be a serious evaluation process, reevaluation process, heading into the draft this year about how much they're willing to gamble on players with pre-existing conditions isn't the right word, but coming off of injury when you need guys to have an impact now. We'll continue to talk about it on the other side. Mike Vrabel will speak to the media and will carry that press conference for you as well. We'll continue to take your calls. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. A little funky before we get to the head coach. A little Prince for you on this Victory Tuesday if you're a Titans fan. Or, well, no, not if you're a Vols fan. Forgot how we feel so far removed from Saturday. But for the Titans fans last night, a great victory. Now, for the purposes of the roster, because Mike Vrabel is going to take the podium here in just about 9 minutes, so we'll carry that live for you. Taylor Lewan has tweeted out, "Thank you for all the thoughts and prayers. I'm all right. Hashtag no bad days." So Taylor Lewan seems to be in good standings, in good spirits. We'll find out from Vrabel whether he is still in the concussion protocol, because that was how he ended up, or what he was ruled out with after he left the field on the cart yesterday. It was pretty scary. One of two players, well, three players, right? Cam Batson got carted off the field as well. Caleb Farley, Cam Batson, Taylor Lewan, all dealing with various situations. So What I want to talk about here is how close are the Titans over the next couple of games? Because Indy right now is not in a great spot. They just got their second win. It was over the miserable Houston Texans on Sunday, but their schedule remains weak enough that they can continue to hold serve while the Titans try and muscle their way through this incredibly difficult stretch, including the Bills game of four games, right? Hosting Buffalo, hosting Kansas City, at Indy and at the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football. For the Colts, the road is much, much easier. They, of course, have just beaten the Houston Texans. They are going to play at the 49ers on Sunday Night Football this weekend, which will be an interesting game. Is Jimmy G going to play in that game? Do we have any idea?
No, I'm not sure what his status is.
Because Trey Lance did some stuff. I know they didn't win on Sunday without Garoppolo, but he's capable. I think that there are some promising things. I just don't think he's ready to like help this team, put this team over the top.
Garoppolo did practice yesterday.
Okay, so worth paying attention to the Colts at the 49ers on Sunday Night Football this week. Of course, they'll host the Titans on Halloween, and then they host the Jets on Thursday Night Football, because Thursday Night Football this week was not punishment enough. They'll instead subject you to the Colts and the Jets. So it's possible that here's what this means, okay? Because the Jets, if the Colts beat the Jets, they own a tiebreaker over you. But you can negate that if you just kill the Colts in their crib on Halloween in their place, right? But their schedule is meh enough over the course of this past game and then their next three that they can climb their way back into the division. Now, you did yourself such a massive service by beating Buffalo last night. Not only is it great for morale, not only does it inspire your fan base, it inspires your players, it helps you push through just a little bit harder when your body might start to ache and to, you know, to just creak and groan. And God, I don't know how Derrick Henry does it, because everybody else is moving out there. I mean, Caleb Farley is a rookie first-round draft pick. He's just come into the league, and he moves like a 60-year-old man out there. Did you notice that? coming off the back injury. He's got a shoulder injury. Now he's torn his ACL, and I don't mean to pile on Caleb Farley today, but, like, damn. Like, football looks like it's already happening to Caleb Farley, and he's just recently become a pro.
First drive was tough. He had one really good snap in the end zone where he had Stephon Diggs covered up in the corner. But, yeah, that it's tough to watch. Obviously emotional, too, as he left the game.
Speaking of injuries, Ravens left tackle, is it Ronnie Stanley? Yeah, Ronnie Stanley is now ruled out for the season. He's just been placed on IR with an ankle injury.
That's a big loss.
Ravens sitting atop the conference right now at 5-1. That's a massive loss for Baltimore. So, I mean, Baltimore's dealt with more injuries. They've got more players on IR than any team in football right now.
And it started 3 weeks before the season.
Right, with all their, like, literally all of their running backs.
Every single one.
Down. So, where are the Titans? I mean, and this is the thing about, like, how you stack up in the conference now, right? Because it's not just a conversation about the division. After you beat Buffalo, it's a conversation about, all right, well, where are they in the standings? Because now as you sit there at the three seed, Buffalo's schedule is pretty soft throughout the rest of the year. They've probably got one, maybe two games left against teams with a winning record. They've got Tampa in December. Maybe Carolina or New Orleans would be the other possibilities, but the Bills' schedule gets a hell of a lot softer now that they've got the Chiefs and the Titans out of the way. Now, for the Ravens who sit atop the conference, because remember, now in the expanded playoff format, only one NFL team, the top of the conference in the AFC and the AFC, get that bye week now that they've extended not just the regular season, but the postseason as well. So you look at the Ravens the rest of the way through, sitting at 5-1. They will host the Bengals. They will host the Vikings. They will play at the stinky Miami Dolphins on Thursday Night Football, at Bears, hosting Browns, at Steelers, at Browns, versus Packers. Okay, nobody cares about me reading the Ravens schedule. Ravens schedule's not easy, though. And I know Baker Mayfield's in a bad spot right now. They play three division opponents three straight weeks. That seems hell. They play that's a terrible schedule gaffe by the NFL. They play four division opponents in 5 weeks, and the one non-division opponent is Green Bay at home. Man,
gross.
That could rough the Ravens up.
We thought it was bad when the Titans played the Texans twice in 3 weeks.
Wow, that sucks. Hosting Browns, at Steelers, at Browns, hosting Green Bay, at Bengals. That's trash.
That's a murderer's row.
They've got five division opponents in 7 weeks down that stretch. That could spiral for them in a hurry.
That'll decide the division that stretch.
Oh, my God. So, Baltimore seems they've chewed up their early part of the schedule, right? Raiders, Chiefs, Lions, Broncos, Colts. And then handling the Chargers in a way that I think people thought that game was going to be a lot cleaner. I myself thought that was probably the game of the week. And then Justin Herbert looked very, very mortal all of a sudden against a really good Baltimore defense. But it would be tough for the Titans to make up ground, except for the Ravens, who are just going to fall. They have the potential to fall all over themselves. Now, Lamar, if you want to make an MVP, so here's the people that I'll take an MVP case for. I will take MVP cases for Derrick Henry. I will take MVP cases for Tom Brady. I will take MVP cases for Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray. Lamar Jackson right now is borderline. But the biggest crime, well, that's not true. I don't want to sound callous about all the just horrific things John Gruden was accused of doing and saying. But the worst part of that from a football on the field standpoint is Gruden just totally stole the spotlight from what was as good a performance by Lamar Jackson in the second half of that Colts. What was that Monday Night Football as well? Last week?
Yeah, last week.
Monday Night Football between the Colts and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson had the best second half of any quarterback. I mean, he had the best performance of any quarterback I've seen this year, I think. Even though Tom Brady is, throwing for five touchdowns and nobody's paying attention. Because he's just doing it off in the NFC while he's toiling and waiting for another Super Bowl wing.
There's been some great ones. Dak Prescott put up more yards than any offense against a Bill Belichick coach defense in history on Sunday.
This is what I was afraid of. Because I had Sunday off, right? The Titans played on Monday night. I was like, I should probably watch football, and then I watched almost no football.
Three overtime games.
I know. I missed the I heard the Cowboys Patriots game was spectacular. I'll probably go back and watch that on Game Pass at some point this week. But for the Titans, the Ravens are the most susceptible of the teams that are still ahead of you. I still am a believer in the Chargers. I still am a believer in the Buffalo Bills because the Titans did everything they could to hold them down last night, and Buffalo still got 31 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not a bad football team. They played you as close to the wire as and rather, it should be stated that the Titans played the Bills closer to the wire than any team not named Pittsburgh this season. But I would say that the focus still should be on those divisional games. A win against the Bills is fantastic. A win against the Chiefs would be like the cherry on top of your sundae. But the only game that matters out of these next three to me, I mean, they all matter. The only game that matters of more importance is the Colts. You have to kill the Colts. You have to take control of your division decisively the way that you took control of your home field environment against a better football team, and you came out as the better football team. So Mike Vrabel is going to be asked a lot of questions about this. He's going to be asked a lot of questions about Julio Jones, about the Music City Miracle that wasn't last night, because he is getting ready to head to the podium. They've just started the live stream on the Titans website right now. So we'll go out to St. Thomas Sports Park whenever Lucas is ready. If I have the green light, let's go to Mike Vrabel.
Having to do a quick turnaround for Sunday.
Like it always is, find out who's available, who's going to be okay. And, you know, much of that we'll monitor throughout the week and see where guys are. And then, you know, make sure that we have everybody that's on the roster, whether they be on the active roster or the practice squad, ready to go.
Given the situation with Farley and Fulton probably not available, the next man up mindset, you know, how much does that apply to Chris Jones? What are some of the things that you like from him?
Chris has been with us. Certainly somebody that we'll look at. Body's been with us for a while, been working, practicing, and so, you know, confident that if those guys get an opportunity, they'll do everything they can to take advantage of it.
What's the balance between when you're down at a position between bringing a practice squad guy that maybe doesn't have very much experience versus going outside and bringing in somebody that doesn't really know your system?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is what have they been doing? You know, have they, like, how much work have they been putting in? Where are they at physically? Also, you know, where are they at mentally as far as, you know, picking up the scheme and how much work that requires in just a short amount of time. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of those things and working our way through them.
You guys having a little fun last night or paying tribute to the Music City Miracle with the lateral on the punt and the fake on the kickoff?
No, just really just trying, you know, I mean, fun. This isn't, winning is fun. That's the only thing that's fun. There's nothing fun about letting a gunner go through two guys and disrupt the play. You know, it was a play that we thought we could take advantage of. Unfortunately, we didn't hit it.
Any further update on Taylor Lewan at this point? How is he doing?
I saw Taylor this morning. I would say all signs lead to him being in the concussion protocol. So I would say he's doing as well as he could be. But I saw him this morning.
On the returns you mentioned earlier, I guess was the idea that first one kind of set up the second one because you didn't throw it?
No, one was on a kickoff, one was on a punt. You know, we're just trying to create some big plays there and, you know, do something in a return game. Blocked inside out, ran him by on the outside. You know, I think the, our ability to run the football and our ability to, you know, to work the play pass and play game, play action pass game in the second half, something that was critical. You know, so anytime we can do that and keep Ryan clean, that's a positive, and credit to the guys that were in there.
What'd you get out of Avery Williamson last night?
I'm sorry.
Williamson, what'd you get out of him? How'd he play?
I didn't have many snaps in the game, you know, so again, he was a guy that We brought in on short notice. We tried to learn two positions, and you know, we'll continue to work with Avery. Loved his attitude, the way he came in here. It was fun. I never had a chance to coach him before. You know, when I got here, he headed out in free agency, which, you know, was great for him. But he came in here with a great attitude, really enjoyed, you know, having his presence around last week. And then, you know, we'll continue to progress with him this week.
The injury to Cam Batson is, in fact, a torn ACL. And I know he's a guy that you really like. How disappointing is that for
you know, well, I don't like to see any of our players get injured. You know what I mean? I care a lot about them all. And so it's unfortunate when we lose any of them. You know, we understand the risk associated with this game and you know, playing it at the level and the speed in which they do. So hopefully if all those guys that got hurt, you know, last night or that will continue to get hurt, we'll take care of them. We'll do everything that we can to, you know, to get them back and take care of them physically and mentally.
Jeff had the big splash play, obviously, at the end of the game last night. That's a position where sometimes it's hard to judge by statistics how a guy's playing. What has his impact been throughout the course of the season, and has he taken his game to another level in the last
couple
weeks?
Think he's still trying. I mean, I think there's things that we still, you know, work with Jeff and show him on. But, you know, I think his leadership, first and foremost, is something that's, you know, been great. I think that, you know, his effort, I mean, he plays a lot of snaps for us. And so his effort for a big man is very good. His physicality, you know, he's fun to coach. You know, he's coachable, takes the coaching. His team means a lot to him. So he's an important piece of who we are.
Ryan Tannehill completed 9 straight passes down the stretch. What makes him so clutch in those moments?
Well, I think experience. I mean, we've played a lot of close games, unfortunately, but I think experience of being in those moments, I think the things settled down for him. I don't think Ryan was great. I don't think you know a lot of us were great early in the game. So just kind of got into the flow of some drives and got into a much better rhythm offensively.
When you talk about guys who love football, how important is that attitude in those close games when you like you just talked about?
I mean, I think that any time times get tough, whether that's injuries or adversity, close situations. And I think that guys that truly love it will find a way to get through. And I don't know if it's in a close situation or close game, but it's usually when things aren't great and things are not in your favor. You know, the guys that love their teammates and love the game usually find ways to get through.
How did Hooker do in his first game back off IR?
Good. I mean, I thought Imani was prepared. I thought he was active. And, you know, that's he was playing well before, you know, he got hurt. And hopefully we'll see him, you know, progress through the week without any setbacks after some game action.
It looked like the front seven struck a good balance between affecting the pocket, affecting the quarterback, and preventing him from running, staying disciplined. What was your assessment of, I guess, the play on the quarterback?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it was good at times, and then there were times, obviously, you know, we talked about it, you know, going to our left, you know, or his right, and that's where he made plays. And that's where we, you know, I try to show him, you know, when he goes out there to the right, it usually doesn't end in a positive play for the defense. And that was the case again last night. So, you know, but there were other times where it was, you know, it was really good. And we affected them, and, you know, but it just, we got to try to do a little bit more.
Obviously, a lot of talk about resiliency last night. You guys won 13 games that you trailed in the fourth quarter over the last 3 years. Where does that start? Where does that come from?
You know, just trying to put a group of guys together that care about each other, that doesn't, that don't panic, that, you know, understand that then. You know, you're going to play in some tight games in this league, and again, the experience of it, the type of people that we have, the messages that we preach. You know, it's a impressive, interesting stat. You know, we'd like to not be down, but you know, we certainly find ways to win, and have a lot of faith in our guys to execute.
putting the 1 week at a time or one game at a time mindset aside, like, how do you look at these next four games? Because it seems like that's going to be like the toughest stretch on the schedule.
And just looking at really today, our preparation, our meetings, you know, Toronto, we'll figure out where we go after this week. We're home, you know, against really one of the best teams in the NFL, however you want to, you know, slice it. It'll be a huge challenge for us on a short week to get back, to get ready, to play an explosive offense and, you know, a defense that is, you know, is going to be, you know, geared up, ready to try to stop us.
Was this stretch one that you guys kind of circled and looked
no,
at?
No, I don't circle any games. They're all in the same color. Some are on the road, some are at home, some are on Monday night, some are on Sunday, some are on Thursdays.
What's your level of trust in
other that? Than I think we go to Boston around Thanksgiving because Tyler's home. So I did look at that one.
What's your level of trust in Westbrook Akine at this point after he steps up again?
The same way it was last week and the week before. And, you know, just kind of expect him to do his job, and he's done that. And, you know, went in there, got key blocks, had some key catches. Plays on special teams for us.
How do you describe Devin Long's growth curve so far?
Plays with a lot of energy, plays with a lot of speed, quickness. It's never going to be perfect in there, but, you know, I just, David shows a sense of passion and, you know, love watching him play, throws his body around. And so do all guys, all the guys out there. So, I think he's getting more comfortable each and every week. Saw him blitz and affect the quarterback, and you know, saw him do some things. And obviously, there'll be some plays that we have to coach up, and that he'd like to have back. But you know, he's very active.
You feel like with Julio, is this kind of going to be what you expect? You know, that maybe he's good enough to go full games. Maybe there are going to be some games where you know that the hamstring keeps him out a bit.
We'll just take it day by day. See how it goes tomorrow.
What's it like when
that's Mike Vrabel? We had to get the Julio one in. I just texted people at the press conference. Why has nobody asked about Julio Jones? There it is. Day to day. Polls next. Wrap things up here on a Tuesday. Ton of fun on the show today. Shortened segment because we went long with Mike Vrabel's press conference. He's still currently addressing the media, and Lucas tells me that it has just now ended. So there will be a lot of discussion that we'll bring to you tomorrow when we join you for the dumbest thing in sports. We got Will Compton. He was in Knoxville. I'm pretty sure he's the one who threw the mustard bottle. So we will do some investigative journalism with William, who flaked on us last week, and we will need to publicly shame him, and we'll do that on the radio. But before we do the polls, I need to quickly remind you that I am going to head to Two Rivers Ford after this, because I know that J. Martin Ramon and 3HL, they're going to be out of Two Rivers Ford tomorrow. And so I got a call from the fine folks over there, and they said, hey, it'd be fun if you could, because they're raising money for cancer, which is great. And they asked me, can you lean into this a little bit since you and Dawn have this existing online social media feud, which if you were following it during the Vols game on Saturday, she called me a clown, and I had to yell at her in front of an audience of thousands at the pregame setup yesterday. But I'm going to go out to Two Rivers Ford, and I'm going to help Ramon Foster raise money in the effort to spite Dawn Davenport. And this was something that was fueled directly by Two Rivers Ford. So I'm going to head out there at 3 o'clock today for an A to Z Sports pop-up. In the meantime, we'll do some polls.
All right, Dan. I reckon I'll talk about a poll update. This is Carl Childers. There's a young feller. I think he's got the final numbers. Here's the producer of the Buck Rising show. A feller named Lucas Panzeker. Got any mustard and biscuits?
Just couldn't be more different.
It's so weird. I kind of like it though. I don't know why I like it. I don't think I should like it. It's something wrong about it.
Oh.
Especially with the way that he's just grunting and groaning at us mustard and biscuits.
Who are the winners of the football weekend? Gary Todd says the Titans won the sports weekend, but King Henry got royally screwed by FedEx and the NFL, rushing the FedEx Ground Player of the Week before the game even started. Not a good look, FedEx.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it today. It's probably going to come up on Wednesday because, you know, we got the dumbest thing in sports.
Julian says it's Purdue for beating the number two team in the nation and having a record for beating number one and number two ranked teams as an unranked school. They have Iowa. Nine. No one else has more than four.
Iowa, you chokers. Just absolute choking dogs. What a tough way to go down. And it wasn't even close. Purdue blew them out.
Josh says Nissan Stadium is the winner of the weekend. Eldon says cornerbacks that need employment are the winners of the weekend.
Yeah, Titans are going to be in the market for a little bit of help at cornerback. Mike Vrabel not confirming season-ending injuries for Caleb Farley or Cam Batson, for that matter. But they're going to need some help. That Stephon Gilmore trade for a six-round pick sounded pretty nice right now.
Losers of the football weekend, Puka says Bills Mafia, who came down for vacation and got to see an ass-whooping. Instead, they're going back with empty wallets, hangovers, and a last-second loss. Thanks for the money. Have a long, slow trip back home. Wonder why there's no photos of the plane trip back. Goodness, Puka. Off the top rope.
My God, that was vicious. I don't know if we're going to do any better than that.
Gary says the Vols fan base is the loser of the weekend for getting dragged by clueless national media and, of course, the hapless Texans and Dolphins, with the latter being beaten by the previously winless Jags.
Yeah, Miami lost. Miami took a fat L, and they had to go overseas to do it.
Derrick Henry MVP, 98% say yes.
98?
Yes.
Who are the 2%?
I don't know.
I will find you.
Puka says he's in the top five discussion now. Goody says he has to at least be brought up. So no dissenters in the comments.
Except for the 2%.
That was the best atmosphere in Nissan Stadium since what game? V-Love, which he would know, says Chiefs in 2019. Tyler replied, said, I agree, but I think it was louder last night.
Oh, no, it was for sure louder last night because it was more full. I mean, there was a lot of Chiefs fans in the stands in 2019. And again, this is not a shot at Titans fans. It's just it was a different time before the Titans became a hot ticket and before people actually wanted to attend these games. They put on a great show. 2019 was an incredible game to watch, but that's been the best environment I've ever witnessed at Nissan.
Lance Smith says, in my seven seasons, of course, Lance Smith, who works for the Titans, in my seven seasons, it is tops. Going back to just my fan days, the 99 wild card game was it. Must be something about playing the Bills.
Yeah, I was 5 years old in 99, so I don't recall.
Shut up, Chris Broussard. No. Yes or hell yes? 70% say hell yes. We will address this tomorrow with the dumbest thing in sports, and those are the polls.
Did you call dibs on that?
I did. I called dibs. But actually, I found another one if you want it.
I'll think about it.
There's some good stuff this week.
You'll have to find out tomorrow, because Blaine and Mickey are next.